We start our number three by having a conversation with the owner of one of the finest resumes in all of sports, but it comes down to just this. He is a San Quentin hoops legend. He is Bob Myers. Bob, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Bob?
I'm having some San Quentin shirts made. I'm going to have Raymond send you one.
Oh, that'd
San
be great.
Quentin Warriors, so as a supporter of the cause.
I am a great supporter of that cause, and I would love to have that. So whatever Raymond makes up and sends out here, I'll take it. How are things, Bob? You're on the eve. You're 24 hours away from tipping off game one of the finals. How is your life? How are you feeling?
I'm good, man. This is the shortest time we've had between Western Conference finals and finals. So, I mean, I think we knew if we won, we'd be playing Cleveland, but we were still preparing for Houston on Monday night. So we got back about 3 or 4 in the morning after that game. Didn't do anything yesterday. The coaches watched film. And then today we just met, and the team's practicing right now at our arena. But it's a quick turnaround. So fortunately, you know, LeBron is no he's no surprise. We've seen him a lot. But they have a different team and not a lot of prep time. But it's – I mean, the Houston series was – that was a monster. I mean, that was – coming off that, I remember how we celebrated beating San Antonio last year, which was a much different series. But our players – you know, there's a true appreciation for what they've done. That Houston series was probably one of the toughest ones we've ever faced in the last 4 years.
Bob Myers, my guest. You know, Bob, when you look at that and you look at the Western Conference Finals, I mean, do you come out of that thinking that you're better because of it, that you were pushed like that and that's a good thing? Or is there maybe some frustration that maybe it could have ended earlier and you could have gotten some more rest?
Yeah, I mean, look. What we felt like was in the game, the turning point in that series was game four. And what, however you want to characterize it, we were up 10 going into the fourth at home. That's a game we win 90% of the time. And credit Houston again, they beat us. That's where it felt like in the playoffs, you cannot, I don't want to use the term giveaway, but you can't let go of a game at home. Because when you do, you force yourself in a win that you view that as a winnable game, maybe a game we should have won. Now you've got to beat a very good team 5 times because you count that one as a game you probably should have won. So that was tough coming off that and then losing game 5 and being backs up against it. But yeah, I mean, Kevin, after the game, Durant, I was sitting with him on the plane and he said, you know, I feel more part of the team now than I ever have. Meaning we hadn't been through a ton of adversity in the last year of the playoffs. We went through adversity this regular season, but last year in the playoffs, yeah, it was great, and it was smooth, and it was a little bit of like a honeymoon year having Kevin. But to face adversity, that's when you really get to know your teammates, your organization, when you go through a situation like we did, you know, getting that close to being knocked out by Houston, you build kind of these bonds. And so, yeah, we're better for it, probably more tired for it. But, yeah, I mean, those things strengthen your team if you get through them.
We're talking to Bob Myers. You know, Bob, when you and I spoke earlier in the playoffs, you mentioned the conversations that you had with Draymond Green and some of the other players during the regular season about needing the stakes to be high in order to be fully committed. So knowing that, I'm curious, what's going through your head when the team came out and fell behind by double digits in both Game 6 and Game 7? Was there any part of you thinking, all right, fellas, the stakes are pretty high right now. You don't need to make them any higher?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part with our team, Jim. And we're human beings. Everybody thinks that our team just walks out there and wins. I mean, they're people, and like you and me, they show up for work. You've been doing what you've been doing a long time. Yeah, I mean, you probably don't have the same energy you had the first year you had your own show. You probably have days where it's a job. You're at the top. People are coming after you. So it's a little bit different when you're on the ascent than when you're sitting there at the top and looking around. So it's tough. I mean, you want our team. It's a little bit like the last two games of that series. It was almost like we were a boxer that had the belt that needed to be knocked around a little bit in the first round to wake up. I mean, we had to almost take a punch to get in the fight. That's not what you want to do. I mean, the idea from the coaching staff and the players, we talked before both those games about coming out and being ready and not getting behind and take care of the basketball. And for whatever reason, I mean, a lot of it's the Rockets, but we didn't do it. And now you're down 10 and a half, 2 games back-to-back against a very good team. And you put yourself in this position where you have to play great in the second half. Everybody talks about our third quarters. Well, that's oftentimes in response to a lackluster first half. So nobody's around here I wasn't sitting. If you were at the game and I walked into you and I said, you'd say, what's going on? I'd say, Jim, I don't know. I wouldn't tell you, yeah, we got this. We'll have a great third quarter and we'll win the game. It's a dangerous game to play. We've gotten away with it, but I don't think anybody likes that pattern. So I was worried. I was worried. But, you know, you look around the locker room. I was at halftime of the game, and the players, they're still connected, and that's important because where you lose these games when you're down is in the huddle where somebody points a finger, and Steph had a good comment after it where there was a moment where it could have gone sideways, and it didn't. It was when Draymond threw that cross-court pass and Harden picked it off and dunked it. And he was getting into it with Kevin a little bit, which is natural in the course of a game seven on the road. And the fact that they kind of came together and said, let's play the next play, move on, that's over with. And Steph even said, those are the times where you could splinter as a team. Or even at a halftime, when the doors are shut and some player goes to another player and that player hangs on to that emotion and you come out and you just let go of that rope. But we were calm, we were upset. And then that, I think, allowed the team to come out and do what they did in the second half.
We're talking to Bob Myers. To me, Bob, that's everything right there. I mean, it would have been so easy for the team, any team, to completely implode or fold after that first quarter of Game 7 because nothing was going right. So what's it say about Steve Kerr and the players that didn't happen, and what keeps them together in a moment like that?
Yeah, I mean, you referenced Steve. Steve's resume, as far as having been there, is probably the best in the league, where you can look at a coach who's won 5 championships as a player who played with Michael Jordan and Tim Duncan and has been in these moments, in these pressure-filled moments, made pressure-filled shots in big games in the finals. So you can't help as a human being to look at your leader and say, am I going to get behind this guy? And when you have a Steve Kerr in the locker room or pregame or postgame, these players know who has done it and who hasn't. And they look at Steve Kerr, and they can. When he says something, he's been there. He's been in their shoes. I can't sit up there and say anything about what it's like to play in a Game 7 on the road, but he can. And he does it in a humble way. He doesn't pound his chest and say, hey, when I was with the Bulls, I made a shot, so you need to do that. He doesn't do any of that stuff. It's just more about, guys, we're capable. And then it comes with, when we won the first title, Steve said something to me. He said, the hardest thing to do is to win the first one because the truth is you don't know if you're capable. As a human being, you just don't know because it's so hard, so much harder than people think to win any. Yeah, but the first one, there's a doubt, if we're being honest with ourselves, there's a doubt in the back of our minds, whether it's me or the coach, him as a coach, even though he'd done it as a player, our players that hadn't won it, can I do this? They've seen all the greats win championships, but they've never won it. But when you've won it, you have that confidence inside of you. When you talk about our locker room, you look around that locker room, there's a lot of guys that have not just won one, but won a couple. And if you haven't won them, and we just signed a player, he may not admit it, but he's kind of looking over at Draymond Green going, this guy knows. He knows the way. He's done this before. He's played in 3 finals. That, Jim, is the difference sometimes, that confidence of I've been there, I know the way. And we've got a good amount of those guys now. And that, in the moments that are tight, that kind of carries you.
Bob Myers, the Golden State Warriors, joining us. You know, Bob, I appreciate those thoughts very much. You look at you and Steve Kerr, and you have a very close relationship. You have a very unique relationship. There's a mutual bond and respect there. Does he strike you as somebody that wants to keep doing this and grinding it out? Or maybe do you have to check his pulse year to year? Like, where's his head and his heart in this right now? Because he's had so much success, and there is a price to be paid. And, you know, Steve Kerr can do literally anything he wants.
We were driving to Napa. We had some retreat on our business side, and Steve and I were driving up together, and I asked him that question. I said, hey, man, how long do you want to do this? And he kind of looked at me, and he said, well, he kind of was befuddled. He's like, what do you mean, how long do you want to do it? And I said, I'm just curious, you know? I mean, it's a hard job. And his response was, forever. I mean, I love this. And I kind of laughed. I said, you know, you haven't really coached in the NBA yet. Because I said, this isn't reality, what we're doing.
Right.
So the reality is when we're 20 and 21 year, we don't have any player, you know, and it's a grind. And he said, yeah, you're right. Good point. But I think he'll be excited about that challenge too. Steve Kerr was, I think he was meant to coach. You're right. You could do anything you want. He was a great player. He was a good GM. He was a good, he was a lead broadcaster. He could do anything. He's that smart. He's that accomplished. But I do think, oftentimes in our life, it takes till you're 40 or 50 or even longer to find the thing that you feel most comfortable in your own skin. And I would tell you, I bet he's even more comfortable doing this than he was playing, and he would probably admit that. He was kind of born for this. I hate kind of saying that, but I think it's true with Steve. This is his calling, and I think he'll do it, you know, as long as he can, and until he tires of it. But I don't. It is tough, though. You're right to acknowledge. I mean, you've had a lot of coaches, I'm sure. You've interacted with them. It's a high-stakes deal. The media, the fans, the players, the organization, the pressure. A lot of people listening might say, oh, big deal, coaches make a lot of money. They do. They do make a lot of money. That part, you're right, that box gets checked. But as far as the pressure, I mean, you probably got a ton of press conferences you've seen, of whether it's a football, basketball, baseball coach, or manager. These guys are under it. So that's the challenge for a guy like Steve Kerr and any professional coach, is how do you balance life and coaching? Because it can consume you. But I do think he does a great job. He's gone through some things in his life he's seen the highest highs and the lowest lows. I think that helps to maintain kind of some sanity. But I think he'll do it for a long, long time. I hope he does. I mean, he's a great partner for me.
You bet. Bob Myers, my guest. Bob, before I let you go, you mentioned the Cavaliers and LeBron. I mean, when you look at the Cavaliers, obviously, they're a very different Cavs team than the one you faced the previous 3 years, but it's still LeBron. And I know you've been focused on your own team and the road through the West, but what do you make of what LeBron has done in this postseason?
When we played him, Jim, oh, man, some 4 years, whatever it was, 14, 15, somebody from the East called me, a GM, or somebody said, you don't really understand who LeBron is till you play him in a playoff series. And I said, okay, whatever, I know how good he is. But even though we beat him in six games, you check his line in 2014-15, his numbers and what he did, and Love got hurt and Kyrie got hurt, and you do find out the depth of how great he is. But my take on this one, Jim, is as we do this for the fourth time against the team led by him, is I look at it like I grew up watching, you know, Michael Jordan in his prime, and I think what I am trying to do this time around is I'm appreciating having a front row seat. This however these things turn out, in 20 years somebody's going to talk about how great he was. They're going to talk about whatever they do with our team, and I'll get to say I saw all that up close. And that to me is the equivalent of saying I was there when Michael Jordan was playing in those series against the Bulls, or I was at those games with Magic and Larry. I do believe that there'll be some relevance to these series because he was in them for some of the things our team has done, and that's pretty cool. And I'm trying to not wait 10, 15 years down the line to look back. I'm trying to sit here and watch the game tomorrow night and just appreciate him and appreciate the team, the Cavs, the organization, and our own organization, and say this is high-level stuff that's happening. Don't just think this is the norm. And so he is definitely not a normal one. It's going to be a fun series. It's going to be a fun series.
You know, Bob, you've always been like that. One final thought. You want to appreciate what's in front of you, and you understand how life is short and how every opportunity is precious. But if we go 10, 15, 20 years out and the conversation turns to your Golden State Warriors team, what do you think that conversation is going to sound like? What do you hope it sounds like?
That's a great question. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it probably depends on what we do in the next couple of years. But I hope it sounds like the best thing I hear when I'm out and about is I never watched the NBA until I started watching your guys' team. And that comment, Jim, can come from the 80-year-old grandma on the corner that really did never watch the NBA. The comments about, hey, you know, when I was in the hospital, your team kind of got me through. You know, I loved watching the Warriors games, or I remember that team, and they got me through some tough times. It's really, Steve Kerr told me, because it's my job too. I mean, I'm not looking for empathy, but I asked Steve one time. I said, "What is the best part of what we do?" And he said, "It's what you give back to a community. That is the joy from this occupation. It's the joy you give to your fans." And that's worth a lot. How much of us can work in a place where you can touch the lives of people in a pretty profound way? I mean, people, my hope is in 20 years, they go, I remember where I was when you guys did X. That's pretty cool to say, wow. You know, when it's all said and done for us, Jim, we'll probably remember 20 things in our life. We'll remember our weddings, our kids. And in our society, you too, you're going to remember I was at that game 7, or I was at that boxing match, or I was at that baseball game. This stuff stays with us. And so that's the part that I hope it embeds on people. And I hope it's a positive thing that they remember the high character of guys like Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, Draymond, Clay, Durant, Iguodala. I mean, I hope they remember who the people are, not just the team, but the people that made up the team.
Bob Myers, not only a San Quentin Hoops legend, but a jungle legend as well. Bob, you know, I appreciate the relationship so much, and I always look forward to these conversations, and especially the fact that you avail yourself throughout the postseason for us and this program. Bob, thank you so much. Good luck. Can't wait for this thing to tip off.
Jim, should I do – what's the football guy that left the tickets for Elvis? Who was that?
Jerry Glanville.
Yeah, should I just leave a ticket for Jim Rome, like at will call for all these games, and just if you show up, you show up? You want me to do that for you?
How about two for every single game?
Hey, seriously, if you want to come, let me know.
You got it, Bob. I appreciate all you, man. Thank you so much. You're the best. That is Bob Myers.
It's two for me.
That is two for me. Leave it to Van Smack to get an offer from an NBA GM for a ticket for every single home game in the finals and say, yeah, that'd be fine. Can I get two? I learned that from you clones. Bob Myers, he is one of a kind. I've never spoken to an executive who sounds like that, and that's why that culture is so amazing. Very different guy, and it starts at the very top. My thanks to Bob Myers. Always so good to have him on. And something like that would not happen without the other legends behind the legends. There is a crew of legends, and I'm not even talking necessarily about Steph, Clay, KD, Draymond, Sean Livingston, all legends. Steve Kerr, I'm talking about the real legends. Raymond Ritter, Brett Winkler, Matt Dinesnera, Michael Ravina, the legends behind the legends. An absolutely iconic and brilliant PR department running Golden State.
Ionic.
They are ionic. That might be the best run organization in all of sports, top to bottom. I mean, top to bottom. Ownership, executives, coaches, players, sales reps, PR, whatever it is, top to bottom. An amazing culture, an amazing organization. So my thanks to everybody who works for the Golden State Warriors. Essentially everybody who's ever worked for them. God, you're probably like, Raymond Ritter, why are you always talking about that guy? Two reasons. One, he's brilliant at what he does, like better than anybody what he does. And number two, I say this, and this is really critical. Before Golden State became Golden State all over again, Ray ran that thing. And when they didn't have much to promote and publicize, Raymond was still a maniac, availing his players, selling his team, saying, look, we got a good thing here. This is fun. This is exciting. Your listeners will like this. Can I help you? Can we get some guys on? And I'm like, Ray, absolutely. I would love to do that. I like you guys a lot. Let's do some business. And then, and here's my point, when they took over the world and they became incredible, Ray never changed. Same thing. We've got great stories. We want to share these stories. Can we get a guy on your show? That's unusual. I've seen guys who are in situations where things were not good, and then they got good, and then they changed. Not Ray. Well, except Ray got even better at his gig. And he's surrounded by amazing guys. And Bob Myers is as good as it gets.